We're going to have a special class about time management and making the most of our time. Today's day and age, one of our great challenges is time management. Once upon a time, we lived by sundials. We went to sleep on the sunset. We got up by sunrise or earlier. Life was a little bit easier. Today, we stay up way past sunset, and we have to arrange our schedules in order to utilize our time. When we try to do something productive, you tell yourself, I'm taking an hour, and I'm going to take care of my bills, and I'm going to take care of my responsibilities, and I'm going to answer all those emails. And at the end of the hour, you know all the things Trump tried to do and all the things they did to stump him, but you didn't get through one bill because you were waiting on hold and asked just to multitask. You just checked the news, and before you knew it, the hour is gone, and you didn't get anything you wanted done. So one of the rules to time management is not to multitask. Okay? Rule number one to time management is do not multitask. Focus on what you want to get done and do only that. Don't do something else. We think that we accomplish more by multitasking. Usually we accomplish less. We end up getting sidetracked. Rule number two to time management is make a game plan. If you have 5 minutes, if you have an hour, you have a day. If you can take a piece of paper and write a list of what you want to accomplish, then you can accomplish much, much more. We have a student in the Machon who told me a trick that he uses to better utilize his time when he's working. He has an extra laptop, and that laptop is only the work laptop. He's not allowed to use it for doing searches, for reading news. He's just work. And so when he comes to work, he closes the other laptop, and on this laptop, the only thing he's set this rule for himself, the only thing he can do is work. And if he has to do a search, then he writes it down, he'll get to it. So that's a very powerful tool. If we can say, this is what I want to accomplish and I'm not going to do anything else. Making a list and staying focused on what we want to do during that time. One of the keys to accomplishing in Machon Meir is also try to make a list of what you want to accomplish. You know how much time you're going to be here. To say, I want to accomplish Giyur is a nice thing. To say, I want to know the laws of Shabbos, finish all 39, is another nice thing. To say, I want to understand prayer, I want to be focused in prayer. I want to know the laws of Kashrut. Let's set real goals. When we set goals, so then we move forward and accomplish them. If a person says, over Shabbos, I'm going to learn Medrash, he accomplishes Medrash. Part of accomplishment is also defining things. So I had a set learning when we lived here in Kiryat Moshe. So Friday afternoon, after Machon, I would go to buy challah for Shabbos. And there was always a line. So I'd always have about 10 minutes online. That was the time I learned the Medrash Psikta Rav Kahana. Online. Once that's defined, so I knew when I was going to the store, I take the book with me. That way I utilized those 10 minutes. And then when I'd come to the line, if there were 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 8 minutes, the longer the line, the better. I didn't mind. I had what to do. I knew what I wanted to accomplish. I used to have a time when I would wait for my ride. I'd have a ride to Yeshiva, and I had to get there before him. So I'd wait for him, sometimes 2 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes. So I set up set learning. I try to have once every 2-3 months that I sit down, and I do the same thing I do with you guys. I make a list of my schedule. What does every day look like? I break down the hours from wake up till I go to sleep. As much as I can break it down, I break it down. Then I look at what I'm accomplishing, and then I make a list of what I want to accomplish. So the chart looks like this. I usually do it on a napkin, right? On this side, well, I do it on a napkin because I need a quiet place to do it in. Where can I find a quiet place? I once went to the dentist, and he told me, you need another appointment. I have another appointment in 2 hours. I said, okay. By the time I get home, I'll have to get back. So what am I supposed to do? So across the street from the dentist was a coffee shop. I wasn't interested in coffee. So I went in and I said, can I buy a cup of coffee? Yeah, fine. I sat down. I had 2 hours there. I didn't need the coffee. I needed the quiet place to work for 2 hours. And then I discovered that sometimes it's worth paying 10, 15 shekel, whatever they take from you. You got an office for an hour or two. You can sit there and work quietly. So that's why I end up doing it on a napkin. I'm not at home. I'm not in the machan. I'm not in a place where anyone's talking to me. Shut the cell phone. That's another key to productivity. cell phone can be off. It's a magnificent thing. You can shut your cell phones, yeah? And those distractions, again, we accomplish when we're focused. Part of the reason we don't accomplish as much as we'd like is because we're not focused. If I have one task in hand, I'm focused on it, then I can really accomplish it. When I try to do two or three, questionable whether I'll accomplish any of them. We have to be focused. So we said, try not to multitask. Define what you want to accomplish. Define it on paper. When we make a list of what we want to accomplish, so then we stand a better chance of getting it. We lose focus when we don't have a list. When we have a list, so that helps us accomplish. It helps to leave the house. If you have a messy table, so leave the table. Work somewhere else. If you know you want to accomplish something, you have to be in a place where you can focus. If you sit down at your table and you got all your bills and everything else around you, it's hard to focus. So that's another advantage.
So you said it helps to leave the house?
Yeah.
The house? Okay.
To leave a place, if your dorm room is messy, if your dorm room has distractions, if you're in a place where you're going to get distracted, go to a place where you won't get distracted. The place affects us. It's also important to know what's beyond our ability. Very often people ask us for things and what they ask for is worthwhile. That doesn't mean I can do it. And it could be that by agreeing to do it, I'm going to lose what's important to me. You promised your kids you're going to go on a trip, and then your neighbor says, can you help me move my furniture? If you help move the furniture, you'll lose a half hour off the trip with the kids. If you don't, he'll hurt his back. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, I'd love to help you, and I can do it tonight when I get back, but right now I have to go. Someone knocked on the door this past Shabbos at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, you know, my wife's resting, and I have our 1.5-year-old baby. Do you mind if I bring him here to play with your kids while I'm here? So I said to him, you know, it's 2:30 in the afternoon, and I just walked in because I was helping people until now. I just started the meal right now. He said, do you mind if I join? I said to him, you know, until 2:30, my children have been sharing me with other people. And now is the time that they sort of need me to themselves. So we'll have to do a different time. If you don't know to say no, then you're killing your family. So you could say it nicely, it's true. The fact of the matter is, he showed up 10 minutes. We'd like to start a meal at 11. But people had needs that couldn't wait. So we didn't start till about 2:30. But you have to be able to say no. If you want to accomplish what's important to you, you have to be able to tell people no. And it's not being bad. It's being good. You have to decide what's important to you. Just because someone asked for something doesn't mean the right answer is yes. Sometimes the right answer is no. You don't have to say it brutally. It could be nice and walk the person out and tell them we'll find a different time. But you have to be able to say no. And the same thing with your goals. If you've decided your goal is to accomplish something today, and then a rabbi comes in and says, can you join us to say Kaddish at a gravesite? You have to think for a minute. He needs someone to help him at the gravesite, and you need to learn Torah. I try very hard not to lose a day here. Even when I'm sick, even when it's hard, this past Thursday night I felt terrible. But I didn't give up on class, because I feel like you guys gave up on so much to come learn here. How could I miss class? I always say I learned to value class here from Rav Listman. The first class I was supposed to give, an hour before the class, I became sick as a dog. I was so sick I was vomiting on my way to the machon. I was so sick I laid down on a park bench because I didn't have the strength to come here. And when I walked in, the guys were waiting. And I said, just a minute, guys. And I went to the restroom and I continued throwing up for the next 10 minutes. And then I cleaned myself up. Now, why did I come? Because 10 minutes before class, I saw I was feeling so lousy. I called Rav Listman. And I said, what do you say I should do? I don't know him yet, right? And I said, you know, I'm pretty sick. Do you think I should give class? And his answer was, well, if you don't give class, the guys won't learn Torah. And I said, and I'm not feeling so great. He said, I hear, try to push yourself. And I've learned so much from him. I learned so much from him. You know, till today, I have such appreciation that he pushed me that day. So yeah, the guys waited. You guys know McKibben? McKibben, he was in that first class. Now it's 11, 12 years ago. Okay, today he has a different name. Neveloff. He changed his name. But you have to decide. what's important, and if it's important, let's stay focused and let's get it done. So those are a few tips on making the most of your time here. There's one more tip that's not necessarily time management oriented, it's Torah oriented, and that is we tend to compare ourselves to other people. So you go to someone for a Shabbos meal, and their seven-year-old kid is rattling off Rashi, Ramban, all kinds of things on the Torah, and you feel like 2 cents. He's talking different Torah you can't even follow. And he's talking about numerical values of words you don't know from the Parsha, and he's rattling them off by heart. And then you sit there feeling like, okay, so I'm a dunce. Okay. I used to be intelligent. You know, I before I started this Judaism thing, I was an intelligent human being. Now, okay, so a seven-year-old knows more than me. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. Because that kid has an advantage that we don't have. You know, so he grows up knowing that. I sometimes sit there and my kids tell me things and I say, how do you know that? How do you know that? And they'll quote me a Medrash or something. They'll say, well, you said it once. Okay. I don't even remember it necessarily. They do. Okay, so they have an advantage. They grew up with Midrashim and stuff that I didn't grow up with. Baruch Hashem, I grew up in a nice home, but I didn't get what they're getting. I got other things. Fine. You can't compare yourself to anyone else. You can't. It's not fair. We weren't given what other people are given. And we have to deal with the tools we're given. So with those tools, we have to accomplish what we can. And very often, people get knocked off their feet by looking at the next guy. We had a guy come in here who couldn't read. Okay? Couldn't read. And within 2 years, he was finishing Masechet after Masechet of Talmud. He had finished all of Tanakh, all of Shas Mishnayos, and he was zooming away. Now you look at the guy... another few years passed, and the guy's already learning to be a rabbi. He's finishing half of Shas, and you look at him, and our jaw dropped. And we had a student here who was 20 years already learning. He was already teaching. He was an older chavruta. He would come here, and he was like a big brother to the guys, and he would learn with them. And he saw this guy just doom, 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 doom. He's learning with him Aleph Beis, and the next week he's learning with him reading. And by the end of the year, the guy's already finishing Tanakh. And he comes to me, and he says, I'm in the Machon 20 years now. He's not here anymore. He said, you know, I've been learning. And he, in a year and a half, has gone from learning Aleph Beis to being ahead of me. That when I learn Gemara with him, he's teaching me. He said, I don't have a mind like him. And you don't have a mind like him. There's nothing we can do. We have to work with the tools God gave us.
He couldn't read in Hebrew, or he couldn't read in any
language? Couldn't read Hebrew. He knew how to read English. But, okay, people are gifted. So what can you do? So some people have gifts. There's nothing you can do. Some people have gifts that we don't have. Me included. You know, I have to review something 20 times, and then it's questionable whether I'll remember it. Other people see it twice, and they got it. What can I do? I have to work with my tools. They have to work with their tools. They have to accomplish more than I have to accomplish. Hashem doesn't expect of me what he expects of them. If they were given better tools, so they have to accomplish more. But we cannot be frustrated just because other people are moving at a faster pace. That's another very important rule. You can't compare yourself to other people. There's nothing to do. We have to work with our tools. The famous story of Rav Zusha, that he said, when I come to Shemaim and they ask me, why weren't you the Rambam? I'll say, I wasn't given the talent of the Rambam. They'll tell me, why weren't you... The Rav Yosef Karo. I wasn't given the talent of Rav Yosef Karo. The problem is when they'll ask me, why weren't you Rav Zusha? Then what am I going to answer? So we have to live up to our potential. I don't have to live up to anyone else's. And that's a key rule in our personal growth. So what did we discuss today? We discussed setting goals, not getting distracted, being able to say no, writing down our goals. What?
Not multitasking.
Not multitasking, being focused on what we want to accomplish. Making lists and writing them down and then crossing them off. There's good satisfaction. You see, you've accomplished as you cross things off. And you can make a broad list, a yearly list. You can make a list for the next month. You can make a list for the day. You can make a list for the hour. But these things give us strength because we know where we're headed. And then we just discussed the importance of not comparing ourselves to other people because at the end of the day, it frustrates us. And it's not real. It's not true. We have to work with our strengths. Okay.